Blog Talk Radio.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
And welcome to Blueprint for Life. Let us prepare to enter into our Sabbath Torah lesson so that we might be able to give the Most High all his praises. Let somebody know we're on the air.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Let's go before our Abba in prayer. Sisters, with your heads covered. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Our trespasses as we forgive our trespassers. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Father, we come against a spirit of fear and worry and doubt that you sit on the throne and you allow, approve all things. You alone are the one that gives access and denies access. King of kings, Lord of lords, you are, and every knee will bow, and every tongue shall confess that Yeshua is Lord. We thank you for what we have. We thank you for what we don't have. Now bless the prophets who prophesy today, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Yah. We rebuke a spirit of oppression and depression and suicide and rebellion and disrespect and denial of your commandments, the very thing written by your finger. Open the eyes of your people, your saints, that we might be prepared for the soon coming wilderness. It's in the name of our brother, Yeshua HaMashiach, we pray. So be it.
Thank you.
King of Kings, Most High, Lord of Lords, the Son of the Holy, True, Living Yah, Yeshua, HaMashiach, whom this world calls Jesus Christ. Welcome to Blueprint for Life. I'm V, the Preacher, and this is the Sabbath. Shabbat Shalom. It's a day of rest on the 4th of your lies. The 4th of your lies. That's what it is. You know, 4th of July, we weren't independent as a people, an indigenous people. We know what this is. It's about a bunch of lies. We don't recognize that. What I do recognize is that today is a set-apart day, Kodesh. It's a holy day. This is a holy day. I don't know, you know, about that song, When Sunday Comes. Yeah, Sunday's nice. Go have a picnic, whatever. But this is the Sabbath. This is the seventh day that the Most High set apart after 6 days of creation and rested and said that he made this day for us to enjoy all of his goodness. Not these man-made structures and anything made by man, but what he created for us. And to rest our souls, minds, body, and spirit. Blueprint for Life was designed to teach the relevancy of Scripture, because this is not the Bible's not an artifact for religious dogma and spewing of various doctrines to enslave people. No, we're not under bondage. The freedom, the grace given by Yeshua. And this is actually a document that depicts the sojourn of a people and prophesies of what's getting ready to come on this earth. Nothing to be played with. As in that movie I love so much, The Book of Eli, it being the last Bible, people knew that this was not just a book, but it was a weapon. It's a tool. Something that if you do and apply and quote, will actually alter your very existence, your life, will help you to combat unseen forces known as demons and spirits. This is power. And we're here to help break it down so that you can understand it and live a life of peace and fulfillment with Yeshua HaMashiach and his daddy, my daddy, Yah, the Most High, whom Satan wants to be like and whom this world despises. But we who are the salt of the earth and the light of the world, we love him, we worship him, we honor him, we represent him. He even told us that whatsoever we bind on this earth will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever we loose on this earth will be loosed in heaven. Back to the Sabbath. Sabbath was kept 86 times in the New Testament. And I don't know for the life of me why people don't have enough common sense to realize that everybody you follow on Sundays from the New Testament wasn't reading the New Testament. They were reading the Old Testament, Book of Jubilees, Jasher, Enoch. And they were writing letters to each other. And the New Testament has come to be a compilation of letters. Even with your Hebrews 9 and 9, it comes from Jeremiah 31 and 31 to help you to understand the new covenant as he begins to write these commandments on our hearts, where we don't have to memorize and learn them or wear a bunch of tassels and things to remind us. We know right from wrong, because now if you have been baptized and accepted Yeshua as your Savior and been filled with the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKadosh, it sends you to do the right thing, and you know when you're breaking these laws. But you need to be taught what's applicable, what's done away with, what's relevant. Sabbath is relevant. His high holy days are relevant. Abstaining from pagan holidays, relevant. Abstaining from unclean foods, which really aren't deemed foods, because food is something you eat. Abstaining from those things, because these things that are unclean, you need to understand, they were put here for a purpose, not to give you sustenance, but to clean the ocean, clean the land, clean the skies. Vultures, pigs, catfish, shrimp, they eat the feces, the remains, the leftovers. These pigs would even eat dead bodies, carcasses, along with vultures. And you want to call it a delicacy. Most High didn't deem that to be food. He gave you herbs, plants. And then after the flood, he said, okay, you can go ahead and eat some meats. These are the meats you can eat. The ones that I told Noah to bring in, two by two, and then there was he brought in groups of animals by numbers of eight. People don't even read the Bible and know that. The ones that were two by two were mostly your unclean foods. Everything is not designed, meant for you to consume and put into your body, which has led us to a lot of sickness in the world today. So I want you to understand that the understanding of new covenant is not New Testament synonymous. You need to understand the facts. I had just posted even today that not everybody should be teaching, because the book of James tells you that this would be much stricter and harsher punishment for those who have mistaught people. That means you with your YouTube channel, you with your disseminating all your videos, don't know what you're talking about. You trying to gather people into groups, and you've been in the truth for 2 years. Are you misteaching people? This is not a joke. And also, if you don't understand that scripture interprets scripture and that you must have line upon line and precept upon precept, know the command of these scriptures to articulate what Yah is saying and doing, then you need to stand down and learn and be taught and be confirmed. Let the word taught to you be confirmed by Ruach HaKadosh. I thank the Most High for the opportunity to bring Blueprint for Life to you for the last about 12 to 13 years. And it's amazing to me, as I always say, to see the resistance that was there, but also the open ears that were there, and then compare it with what's happening today. I hope more than anything, before you start analyzing the news and prophecy, that you'll analyze the sin condition of your heart and your life and see if you're getting yourself ready and right to be gathered by the Most High and found worthy to go into the New Jerusalem, to see Mount Zion, to be a part of the new heaven and new earth. No, we're not going up to heaven to just live in heaven. That's a lie I was taught to you. The prophet said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The dead in Christ are rising to inhabit a new earth, a new heaven. You need to understand that. You were designed, and this earth was designed, and this earth was designed for us to live as he originally intended for Adam and Eve to live, immortal and command the land, and coexist with these animals in peace and not have to worry about our mortality, death, and sickness. But because they fell from it, fell from the grace, they put us in a sin condition, and we are in a repentant state of mind for our forefathers, Adam and Eve, the sins of our forefathers, and we're praying for that time when Yeshua returns, and we will inherit eternal life again and enjoy the fruits of the land that the Most High has created, a land of milk and honey. Not going up to play the harp and fly with wings and sing all day. But we won't get into that. That's not the lesson for today. The lesson is access denied. So we're going to get into access denied right after we get into this green drink formula. We're going to talk about that because we believe in health, being healthy and whole, because the front has to do with our health and what we consume and put in our bodies. This whole thing about vaccinations and COVID-19 and everything, there's an attack on your health in order to bring in confusion, chaos, and a new world order, and to be able to chip you and take your money away. So I really need you to pay attention to what I'm going to share with you today. It's called the Green Drink of Life. It is a superfood, and I'm going to give you the entire formula today. If you want me to put it together for you, you can reach out to me at Feed the Preacher on Facebook, email me, and we will ship it out to you. But I'm going to give it to you also for free today so that you can stock up in your home with this, because it will fight cholesterol, blood pressure, hunger, strokes, heart attack. It helps to combat these things, obesity. So we're going to get into it. Just hang on for a second. Let me grab the information. Okay, let's get it. Green drink for life. The first thing I want you to write down is number one, spirulina. S-P-I-R-U-L-I-N-A. Spirulina has the highest source of beta carotene, vitamin B12, and GLA. It also has protein. Everybody's always thinking you need to slam a steak down your mouth or some chicken to get protein. That's false. Protein comes from plants. Cows eat plants. Spirulina has chelated minerals, chlorophyll, potassium, magnesium, zinc, iron, phosphorus, calcium, manganese, vitamins, amino acids, DNA, and RNA enzymes. There are no drug interactions. Promotes longevity, mental and physical alertness, prevents degenerative disease, repairs skin problems, cleanses your body, internal cleansing. It's a detox and an eliminator of dead cells in the body. Satisfies your hunger. Contains 4 times the protein of beef and 26 times the calcium of milk. And it's better assimilated into your body. That's spirulina. Wow, that alone. But guess what? We added 4 more ingredients. Chlorella. C-H-L-O-R-E-L-L-A. It's an antioxidant. It's an anti-tumor. It is 65% assailable protein, more protein. It's rich in chlorophyll, beta-carotene, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, DNA, RNA, enzymes. It also has an excellent source of dietary fiber. I tell you, if you take just this green drink every day, you'll cover all your minerals and vitamins, proteins, and enzymes. This is really all you need daily. Chlorella is rich in nutrient factor isolated in the 50s, not available in other green foods called chlorella growth factor, CGF. The CGF makes chlorella most useful for improving growth patterns in children. This will help your son to be 7 feet tall and make it to the NBA. Chlorella helps growth patterns in children, maintains health in your old age. Yes, I better get a lot more. I'm getting there, slowly but surely. It heals injuries, initiates growth where it has been stunted. So this is something you should probably be giving to children so that their growth is not stunted and help them become healthy and strong. From disease degeneration, guess what? Chlorella also helps with Alzheimer's disease, nervousness, palsy, seizures, sciatica, multiple sclerosis, and other nerve disorders. It can promote wound healing by encouraging cell growth. This is amazing. I thought this is only 2 so far. Now I'm talking about putting all these in one powder to make your green drink. Chlorella also helps with the reproduction of tissue repair. Its beneficial effects on the heart include its ability to reduce high blood pressure, lower cholesterol, and to help protect the body from the effects of radiation, 5G, as well as from toxic metals such as lead and mercury. It can improve your digestion, encourage growth of beneficial live bacteria in your gut. Chlorella is a popular treatment for constipation and bad breath. It is easy to digest, convenient, and economical. Super greens help with digestion, elimination, detox, because it binds, when it gets in your body, it'll bind itself up with heavy metals, pesticides, and carcinogens, and then help you to carry those toxins out your body. This also supports people on chemotherapy, fibromyalgia, and halitosis 3 times daily. Brothers and sisters, miracle food, can you say it? Then we turned around and decided to add fenugreek seed. Why? Listen to this. Fenugreek is not a green powder. It's more of a yellow form, but it will assimilate into the green chlorella and spirulina because it's so strong. Fenugreek seed has amino acids, calcium, choline, essential fatty acids, lecithin, lysine, magnesium, niacin, phosphorus, potassium, selenium, zinc, vitamins A, B1, B2, B3, C, D, E. The seed is very nourishing and is one of the most efficacious tonics in cases of physical debility caused by anemia, infectious diseases, especially where a nervous factor is involved. It is also rich in phytoestrogens. It aids in hormone production and facilitates development of the mammary glands that feed on estrogens. Research shows that the seeds inhibit cancer of the liver, lower blood cholesterol, and it also may have an anti-diabetic effect. It has been useful for all mucus conditions. This is a big thing. Mucus is sickness. If you're constantly blowing your nose and coughing up phlegm, there's sickness in your body. Fenugreek helps to combat that. Also, mucus is a problem with COVID-19 when this mucus and this infection gets in your lungs and causes pneumonia. This fights against lung congestion and mucus conditions. Fights against ulcers and inflamed conditions of the stomach and intestines, and it has been used as a lubricant for the intestines, as a digestive aid for fever, dissolves cholesterol, emphysema, migraines, and allergies. That's fenugreek seed, F-E-N-U-G-R-E-E-K-C. Are you convinced yet? I'm not even done. That's the third part of the green powder. The green drink for life. The next one is maca root. Maca root is some of y'all might like this, aphrodisiac, anti-cancer, infertility, anti-fatigue, immunostimulant, and steroidal. Amino acids, it has calcium, copper, fatty acids, more magnesium. I'm telling you, this green drink is restoring all the minerals in your body. Your body comes from the dirt, which is has the same mineral count. You have to not be deficient on your minerals. It's not just vitamins, but it's the minerals. Very important. Maca root also, it's a little known herbal remedy and high energy food that fuels brain function and eases hormone irregularities. It increases your stamina, endurance in athletes, mental clarity, male impotence, menstrual irregularities. Maca has been used as an immune stimulant and in the treatment of anemia. All right, here's the fifth and final one for this green drink, the drink of life powder, and that is moringa. Probably heard about that, moringa leaf powder. Moringa is used for asthma. That's right, asthma, diabetes, obesity, symptoms of menopause, and many other conditions, but there's no good scientific evidence to support these uses quite yet. But it's a plant that comes from Africa. I know we're supposed to be consuming it because it's for the people in that region. It was birthed in that region, and there's a reason why it was birthed in that region for those who are melanated. It enhances something that they picked up already in that region, and we should incorporate it into our diets. It deals with high blood pressure, heart disease, kidney stones, obesity, osteoarthritis, seizure disorders, overactive thyroid, snake bites, gastritis, warts, and wound healing. Moringa is an important food source in that part of the world because it can be grown cheaply, easily, and the leaves retain lots of vitamins and minerals. When dried, moringa is used. It's in India as well, but in Africa, in feeding programs to fight malnutrition. The immature green pods, drumsticks, are prepared similarly to green beans, while the seeds are removed from more mature pods and cooked like peas or roasted like nuts. The leaves are cooked and used like spinach, and they are also dried and powdered for use. Okay, let's see. That's it for the green drink of life, those five ingredients. Spirulina, chlorella, if you can't get access to these super powders and foods, feel free to contact me. Send us an email, and we'll get some out to you right away. I would suggest you keep a lot of this in your cabinet as well as your storing beans and tuna and sardines in case we run out of food. I would say you need this as a preventative and as a natural medicine. In case they shut down your drug stores again, you're going to need plenty of this. This will sustain you for quite some time. Okay, when we come back, we're going to get into access denied. Brother D's not with us today, but he did a great lesson last week, and we didn't get to finish access denied. I'm going to go into two different phases of access denied, but I'm not going to jump around scriptures. We're going to be in Numbers, the 20th chapter, and Ezekiel, the 20th chapter. And I think we're going to start with Ezekiel 20. We're going to start with Ezekiel, the 20th chapter. For the first part of the lesson, so that we can talk about our people and the access that's being denied. Let's take a quick break.
Yeah, I wanna sing my song. Mr. Gardner, Mr. Gardner. But I gotta say like David and make some declarations. Yeah.
Sure.
Cause you see the day and age that we're living in. You can't try to steal from the hand that feed it.
But mama, you
some of us do that. You know?
Yeah.
But listen.
My mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Father Yah, we run to you. All right, let's get it. Let's go to Ezekiel, the 20th chapter. We got a remote word of prophecy coming from Ezekiel about such a time as this that we're living in now and what would befall our people. And who are our people? Well, first, the original Israelites, who are of Negroid features, have been compromised through the conquering of other nations. And you have various hues. And then we also have those that are grafted in. The ones that are grafted in are the ones that accept Yeshua HaMashiach as their Savior, whom this world calls Jesus Christ. Not that Eurocentric dude with the blue eyes that looks like a hippie from the 60s. No, I'm talking about not an image, not an idol, not the cross, not a Mecca stone, but faith and belief in a died and risen Savior that's going to come back for us. Whose features are described in Revelations, the first chapter. So these are the people I'm in reference to. And has he done away with the 12 tribes of Israel? Paul made it clear. He said, no, he has not done away with the tribes of Israel. Remind yourself, this is after Christ rose and went back to heaven. Paul is saying 12 tribes of Israel have not been done away with. He said, because I myself am of the tribe of Benjamin. And every time somebody looked at him, they thought he was a Hamite because he looked like the dark-skinned people of Egypt that had darker hues. He said, no, I am of the tribe of Benjamin. I am a Hebrew, one of the children of Yahshadah, Israel. So that's what you do. Use some common sense. You need to be mindful of. So there will be a separation of the 12 tribes, and also those grafted in will be coming into that new heaven and earth. Let's talk about this prophecy in Ezekiel 20. I'm just going to read it, have some commentary as we go. Ezekiel 20 and 1. And it came to pass in the seventh year, the fifth month, the tenth day of the month, that certain of the elders of Israel came to inquire of the Lord and sat before me. Then came the word of the Lord unto me, saying, Son of man, speak unto these elders and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, are you come to inquire of me? Like, who do you think you are? Ask me, question me. Most High said this in verse 3. As I live, said the Lord God, I'm going to read it as it is today. As I live, said the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you. I go inquire of me. Most High said, as I live. He said, as I exist, as I am that I am. As long as I'm here, and he going to be here, because he's the beginning and the end. You won't be inquiring of me. Verse 4, will thou judge them, son of man? Will thou judge them? Cause them to know the abominations of their fathers. We need to understand what happened with our forefathers when they were at the foot of Mount Sinai while Moses was getting the Ten Commandments. We need to know that they chose idols over the Most High. And can you believe they heard the Most High's voice, felt his presence, and saw him in a great cloud, and still wanted to worship idols? Fifth verse, and say unto them, Thus said the Lord God, in the day when I chose Israel,
and lifted up my hand unto the seed of the house of Jacob. He chose Israel, not the imposters of that are described in Revelations 2 and 9 and Revelations 3 and 9. Not the imposters that come from a man-made treaty called the Balfour Treaty and that come from the Caucasus Mountains and took the land of Palestine to inhabit as their own, that can't even live there because the skin cancer rates are so high, they realize they were not created to live in that region. Not those people. Those are imposters. Those are not the people. He's talking about the Hebrews that went into slavery by boats and ships as prophesied in Deuteronomy 28 and 68, the entire chapter. The ones who were persecuted and ostracized and hated all over this land. The ones who are spread throughout the four corners of the earth and look alike. Yeah, you got people that look like they're your cousins living in Sweden, Switzerland, and Australia because you were scattered. And he says in this chapter, I'm going to gather them again. He said, the ones I chose, mine hand, unto the seed of the house of Jacob, and made myself known unto them. He revealed himself only to one group, race, nation of people. Only one race, nation of people were there at that mountain when he gave the Ten Commandments. He revealed himself to those people. It was a mixed multitude. Some were there, but know that the mixed multitude scattered because they didn't want to go under the rod and come up under the restrictions of the commandments and the laws. They got weeded out. They were purged out. Let's keep reading. Of Jacob, and made myself known unto them in the land of Egypt when I lifted up my hand unto them, saying, I am that I am your God. In the day that I lifted up my hand unto them to bring them forth of the land of Egypt into a land that I had espied to them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands. This is his original intentions, but our forefathers messed it up. 7, then said I unto them, cast ye away every man the abomination of his eyes, and defile not yourself with the idols of Egypt, for I am that I am. He gave us clear cut instructions. I love that Job said, I made a covenant with my eyes. You should read that in the last book of Job. Job said, I had to bring my eyes into check. Your eyes will get you in trouble. Looking at people of the opposite sex, lusting after them, thinking about sex or lusting after idolatrous things, homes, furniture, cars, status, fame. Your eyes will get you in trouble. And he commanded that for us to bring them and make a covenant with our eyes because it'll bring defilement. It'll defile yourself. Verse 8 says, but anyway, the children of Israel, here's what they did. They rebelled against me and would not listen to me. They did not every man cast away the abominations of their eyes. Neither did they forsake the idols of Egypt. They brought all that idolatry from Egypt, which Kemet practices today. And you Pan-Africans still practicing that madness, but can't explain how you got to the Americas as a slave. And you were enslaved by the Egyptians, the idols of Egypt. Then I said, I will pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the midst of Egypt. But 9, but I wrought for my name's sake that it should not be polluted before the heathen, meaning like I decided not to kill y'all in front of these other nations because then I would look bad, saying that I called you out just to kill you. The rest of 9 says, among whom they were, in whose sight I made myself known unto them in bringing them forth out of the land of Egypt. He made himself known through those plagues and through the killing of the firstborn and through the parting of the Red Sea. He first made himself known in Egypt as the great I am that I am, which in Hebrew is Ahaya Asher Ahaya. Verse 10, wherefore I caused them to go forth out of the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness. Something about that wilderness where there's always a purging, and we know that we're going into the wilderness again soon when he gathers us. I'm going to read it to you shortly. I'm getting ahead of myself. Verse 11, there in the wilderness I gave them my statutes and showed them my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. If you do them, you will live. There will be life if you keep his commandments. He gave you this for your benefit. I continue. I digress. 12, moreover, also, I gave them my Sabbaths. Now, why is that plural? Because a Sabbath is not just the seventh day. A Sabbath, rest day of peace, is also his high holy days, which you can learn about in Leviticus, the 23rd chapter. These are all Sabbath days. The holy days are Sabbaths as well. But listen to why he gave them and why we must still do them, and not the 4th of July and Christmas and pagan Easter hunting, egg hunting Easter. No, that's not the ones he gave. The ones he gave are Sabbaths, and they're talked about Leviticus 23. And this is why he gave them. I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them. Listen, it's for us, that they might know, that we might know, that you might know that I am the Lord that sanctifies you. I gave you this day, and you keep it as a sign to the world and a sign to yourself for confirmation and edification for your own well-being in your mind that, ah, it's well with me and him. Because let me get into the psychology of this real quick. Don't think that you're the one who's choosing to keep the Sabbath. There's an inspiration from the Holy Spirit that inspires you to want to do it. And when you do it, you feel a sense of peace and satisfaction. He's the one that taps you on the shoulder to say, don't forget tomorrow's a Shabbat. And when you come to realize it's not grievous, it becomes a joy to where you begin to look for it. And he's saying here, I gave it to you as a sign between me and you so that you know, so that your self-esteem will be assured. And you can say, I keep your Sabbaths, because it's obedience, which is better than sacrifice. Verse 13, but the house of Israel, our forefathers, they rebelled against me in the wilderness. They walked not, they wouldn't keep the commandments. They despised my judgments, they hated it, they was pissed. Which if a man do, he'll have life. He'll live in them. He'll have life. Hold on, I got to read this to you. Give me 1 second. Let's see if I can talk about this. In the Apocrypha, which is a book that was taken out of the 1611 Bible, I love this verse. Give me 1 second. I got to read this for you. Said I wasn't going to go into a bunch of extra scriptures, but I've got to read this one. Give me 1 second to find it. It wasn't in my notes. The book of Baruch. The book of Baruch, the 4th chapter in the 1st verse. This is the book of the commandments of God and the law that endureth forever, not just the Old Testament. All they that keep it shall come to life, but such as leave the commandments shall die. Commandments are life. You do them, that's life. That's life. You're a walking dead if you're out of the law. So guess what? If you're Hebrew and you're not keeping the commandments, you're a zombie. That's why they're making all these movies. You're the walking dead. You have no knowledge of self, culture, your God, of what you're supposed to be doing. You're just putting on because you're walking in the curses. You're a zombie. I continue. Ezekiel 20. 13. He shall even live in them, and my Sabbaths, they greatly polluted them. I said I would pour out my fury upon them in the wilderness, and I'm going to consume all of them. He did. Only the 2 spies went into the land, and the children of the children of Israel. The first batch killed all of them off. Verse 14, but I wrote for my name's sake that it should not be polluted. You don't pollute the Sabbath. How do you pollute the Sabbath? Nehemiah stopped him from buying food on Saturday. You're not supposed to be going to the heathen, the pagan, who worships another false god, and buy his Chinese food, buy his halal food, buy his German food, and cater to the markets and be in the world. He said, come out of here, my people. You don't do that. Nehemiah put up a wall to keep the vendors, the food trucks, the markets out. And he told them, if y'all pull up to this wall again next Saturday, I'm going to lay hands on you. We pollute the Sabbath when we bring in things that are outside of the Sabbath, things that we allow, which don't represent him, worship him, honor him, or bring peace in your life. This is the one day when you get away from the madness that stresses you out. It's It said, he said in verse 14 that it should not be polluted before the heathen. That's the worst thing in the world you can do, is be a Hebrew, one, grafted in or by birth, DNA, E1B1A. It's a genetic code. They know who the people are. That's why they're taking your blood and got you signing up for Ancestry 23, all this stuff, because they know who's who. And they've already established that the real Hebrews have a genome known as E1B1A. They already know. You, with that genetic code, ain't supposed to be out kicking it with these other heathens that don't believe and worship other gods and polluting the Sabbath. I digress. Verse 15, yet also I lifted up my hand unto them in the wilderness that I would not bring them into the land which I had given them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands. Because that's a metaphor, milk and honey. He's saying that it's a land rich in resources, vitamins, foods, health, sustenance, everything you need. So understand the allegory. 16, because they despised my judgments and walked not in my statutes. That's what we have today. But polluted my Sabbaths, my holy days, for their heart went after their idols. Things that you want to have, things you got to have, a picture, a cross. An inanimate object that you just got to have to give you peace of mind, because you want what you can see, not what you're being challenged to trust by faith and not see it. Because they despised my judgments and walked not in my statutes, but polluted my Sabbaths, for their heart went after their idols. Verse 17. Nevertheless, my eye spared them from destroying them. Neither did I make an end of them in the wilderness. I saved a few of them. Verse 18, but I said unto their children in the wilderness, walk ye not in the statutes of your fathers, neither observe their judgments, nor defy yourselves with their idols, for I am that I am. Walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. Most High saw that the first batch that came out of Egypt was messed up, tainted. So he took their children and told them, look, let's try it again. Verse 20. Hallow my Sabbath. That means set apart, make sanctified, kodesh, hallow, make it different. Make sure you treat this day with respect and dignity. Change it. And they shall be a sign between me and you that you might know that I am the Lord your God. Notwithstanding, those children rebelled against me. They walked not in my statutes, neither kept my judgments to do them, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. He keeps saying this. This is a third time. They polluted my Sabbaths. Then I said, I would pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the wilderness. Nevertheless, I withdrew my hand again and wrote for my name's sake that it should not be polluted in the sight of the heathen, in whose sight I brought them forth. I brought you out from amongst the heathen. And then they tripping like, wow, their God is truly the Most High. And then they know that he told you to not do things on that Sabbath, and then they watch you do it and break it. That's why they say, we ain't guilty for what we're doing. They in trouble with their God because they don't respect their God. And now they want to come watch us. There's nobody like no follower that's copying them and want to be like them. That's whack. That's why they treat you with the utmost disrespect when you turn into an Uncle Tom, Uncle Ben, Aunt Jemima. Shake their head and utter disgust at you, because you won't be an original. Stand up and be who you are and who the Most High created you to be, and be the leader of men that you're supposed to be. Let me continue. I'm going to verse 22. Nevertheless, I withdrew my hand and wrought for my name's sake that it should not be polluted in the sight of the heathen, in whose sight I brought them forth. I lifted up my hand unto them also in the wilderness that I would scatter them. There it is right there. I would scatter them among the heathens and disperse them through the countries. So he took the people and he scattered us throughout all the countries. So what this world don't want you to know, that you got black Iranians, black Mexicans, black Japanese, black Chinese, black India, black Germany, black Russia. They hidden in what they call the ghettos. And you've been scattered. And then you've been compromised and conquered by these lighter complected races that have caused some of us to have a blended hue. So can I identify you and just say because you're black, you're one of the children of Israel? No, I can't say that because you're dark-skinned. Originally, they were all of Negroid features and complexions. He did this in verse 24 because they didn't keep his judgments, but they despised his statutes, they polluted his Sabbath, and their eyes were after their father's idols. Let's read some more. Verse 25, wherefore I gave them also statutes that were not good and judgments whereby they should not live. And I polluted them in their own gifts, in that they caused to pass through the fire all that openeth the womb. These women were sacrificing their children to demons. We know this, the devil Moloch, which is a goat that they got at Bohemian Grove with fire on the inside. They would sacrifice their babies to Moloch, hoping to get power. This is why child sacrifice happens now, because Satan promises power to those that sacrifice children unto him. Let's go to verse 27. Therefore, son of man, speak unto the house of Israel and say unto them, thus said the Lord God, yet in this, your fathers have blasphemed me, and that they have committed a trespass against me. That is a sin of blasphemy, which is unforgivable when you keep trespassing the Most High, saying, ah, whatever, I'm going to do what I need to do, I'm just going to kick it. That is influence from Satan to get you to break your father's commandments. You were called into this. You were called into this. Now be one chosen for this, because many are called, but few are chosen. They blasphemed him for not keeping these Sabbaths and sacrificing the devils and idols. You wouldn't believe the Freemasons who were black that have sacrificed their kids or given up family members, or those who want to be a part of the Illuminati or the $20 million club that know that they approved and signed in blood a sacrifice of a family member. Let's keep going. Verse 28, but when I had brought them into the land for the which I lifted up mine hand to give it to them, then they saw every high hill and all the thick trees, and they offered there their sacrifices, and there they presented the provocation of their offering. There also they made their sweet savior and poured out their drink offerings. That's where y'all get that from, right there. Well, let's pour some out for Henry, who just died. Pour a little Hennessy out for Henry. This is a tradition that goes way back with Hebrews. You take it lightly, but don't take it lightly. Some things transcend time. Verse 29, then I said unto them, what is the high place whereunto you go? And the name, therefore, is called Bama, which means high place. That's right. Sounds like Obama, right? Yeah, that's where he got it from. It's a Hebrew. And we've seen Barak mentioned in the Bible, where he was a part of the killing of that soldier when that woman killed that soldier. So Barak is in the Bible, which means fall. I saw Satan fall down like lightning, which is Baruch, Barak. And then we have Bama, which is high place. But I'm not getting into that right now. Verse 30, wherefore say unto the house of Israel, thus said the Lord God, are you polluted after the manner of your fathers and commit whoredoms after their abominations? Y'all can do the same thing as your forefathers, huh? For when you offer your gifts, when you make your sons to pass through the fire, you pollute yourselves with all your idols, even unto this day. And shall I be inquired of by you? O house of Israel, as I live, said the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you. And that which cometh into your mind shall not be at all that ye say, we will be as the heathen, as the families of the countries, to serve wood and stone. This is the problem with our people. We want to be like every other person, every other religion, every other secret society, whatever they do to sell their souls to get money. We raise our kids in a profane fashion. Some of you women don't even realize you're raising your daughter up to be a stripper by letting her start off in school as a cheerleader and then putting her in dance. She's not going to get no job dancing and cheerleading. It's going to lead to the pole. So you don't even realize what you're introducing your kids into. Want them to be professional athletes, but don't realize those contracts mean you belong. It's a new slavery. You belong to the owner. You will do what you're told to do. You'll appear in what commercial we tell you to appear in. You'll do what fundraiser we approve and sanction. And you will go, and then if you don't do it, we'll cut your contract and take your money. And you're coming to this party this weekend. Oh, and we want you to marry Becky, too, not Shaquanda. You don't even realize what you're raising your kids into. That's also turning your children over to the fire, over to Satan, over to Moloch, when you raise them to be worldly-minded and not raise them to keep these commandments and the laws. I mean, it's more impeccable to let your child go to college to learn to become somebody that will help his community. If he's going to learn law, to be an attorney to help people of color to fight these lawsuits, change laws. I'll go to school and become a doctor, stay away from the pharmaceutical medicines and start introducing holistic medicine and a different way of healing our people. Instead, you want to get them into the world of entertainment because you're chasing money. And then you're living vicariously through your children because you weren't successful. This is turning your children over to the fire of Moloch and sacrificing them as well. Because you prefer to chase wood and stone. And you want to be like these heathens, the other countries. You want that same acceptance. You want to walk into a Caucasian restaurant and people bow down and worship you because they say you somebody. This is what you fight for. This is the foolishness we fought for in the civil rights movement. We wanted to sit at the counter in Woolworths and have lunch with the heathen. Why? We were doing just fine before then. And even Martin Luther King said that, like, I think I have marched my people into a burning house. I've messed up because we were better off independent as we were in Black Wall Street. And we accomplished a whole lot more when we took care of our community. And there's nothing to despise the other communities. Take care of your community, too. And then know this. Follow peace with all men and holiness without. No man shall see the Lord. Verse 33, I got a few more to go. As I live, said the Most High, surely with a mighty hand, with a stretched out arm, and with fury poured out, will I rule over you, because we kept going into captivity. Don't forget, there was Egyptian captivity, Persian captivity, Greek captivity, Roman captivity, Syrian captivity, captivity here in the Americas. We just keep not obeying him and going into captivity. This is our final captivity because he's coming to gather us and he's going to deal with us and purge us, as we're about to read. He said, I will bring you out from the people and I will gather you out of the countries. Maybe this is the rapture you're looking for, because what I'm reading, I don't see rapture. It's not in the Bible. Rapturists at one time is in there, but rapture's not here. But gather, oh, it's in there over 200 something times. Right here in 34, he's saying, I will gather you out of the countries. Maybe it might be through ship, UFO, whatever. But he's going to grab everyone wherein you were scattered. I'm going to grab you with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out. This is the return of Yeshua. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people. There's a wilderness we're going to. It's right here in Ezekiel 20 and 35. And there will I plead with you again face to face, as he did when Moses was getting the commandments face to face. He pled with us, and our forefathers said he's too terrible, too awesome. You talk to him and deal with it. We can't handle it. The earth is quaking and everything. Well, he's going to gather us again, put us in the wilderness, and straighten us out and plead with us face to face. Not beg us. He's going to say, this is what you're going to do. Let's read verse 36. Like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so will I plead with you, said the Most High. And I will cause you to pass under the rod. People don't understand what the rod is. The rod is the laws and commandments, again, that he will demand be instituted, fulfilled, and carried out. Now, can you imagine some of the people that will be in the wilderness under these strict new rules and laws are not going to be successful because they haven't been keeping them? That's why we tell you now, we are practicing the law. It's a scepter. The rod is a staff, which like Moses had. And he's going to bring us right back into it. It's Shebet. And Shebet is a staff. He's bringing you back into the club with a club, bringing you back into your tribe, and back into these laws which he will expect from you. And then he said this. And listen, let me make it clear. I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. He's going to bring you right back into the bond of the covenant. You've got to abide by the covenant. Verse 38 says, and I will purge out. There you go. Here's what's going to happen. He's going to bring, gather his people, put them all in the wilderness, put them back under the commandments, and the ones that don't keep it will be purged out from amongst us. Let's read it again. Verse 38, and I will purge out from among you the rebels, them that transgress against me. because we're not going to keep breaking these laws and going into captivity. This is the final one. I'm going to go ahead and get rid of the ones that's always responsible for the problems, like Dathan and Korah. I'm getting rid of them in the wilderness. I'm going to purge y'all out and cleanse it off. I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am that I am. He's going to purge people out, and certain people are not going into the new Jerusalem, new land of Israel, because they're rebels, and they have no desire to be obedient or keep the laws. We're not going back into captivity. That's why two-thirds of our people will be destroyed, and only a third will make it in. And that third are the ones that will keep his holy commandments and statutes. Verse 39, as for you, O house of Israel, thus said the Lord God, go ye, serve ye everyone his idols, and hereafter also, if ye will not hearken unto me, but pollute ye my holy name, no more with your gifts and with your idols. For in my holy mountain, in the mountain of the height of Israel, said the Lord God, there shall all the house of Israel, all of them in the land, serve me. There will I accept them, and there will I require your offerings and the first few fruits of your oblations, your drinks, with all your holy things. I will accept you with your sweet saviors when I bring you out from the people. He's going to bring us out from this protesting, bloodshed, vaccinated land. And I will gather you out of the countries. He's saying it again for the third time. I'm going to gather you out of the countries wherein you have been scattered. I used and sanctioned the transatlantic slave trades to get y'all scattered throughout all these different lands. Verse 42, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I shall bring you into the land of Israel, into the country for the which I lifted up my hand to give it to your fathers. And there you're going into the land that I promised. And when you get there, there you will remember your ways and all the things that you did wherein you were defiled. And you shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for all your evils that you have committed. There's going to be some of you that are going to make it into the kingdom that know you've done some things that should have kept you out. You're going to remember those things that you've done and repent all the more. You shall know that I am the Lord when I have wrought with you for my name's sake, not according to your wicked ways, nor according to your corrupt doings. You house of Israel, said the Lord God. Let's finish reading. Ezekiel 20, 45, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, set thy face toward the south and drop toward the south and prophesy against the forest of the south hill and say to the forest of the south, hear the word of the Lord. Thus said the Lord God, behold, I will kindle a fire in thee, and it shall devour every green tree. This is a prophecy you can find in Revelations when he gets ready to let forth his judgments. And every dry tree. The flaming flame shall not be quenched, and all faces from the south to the north shall be burnt therein. And all flesh shall see that I, the Lord, have kindled it. It shall not be quenched. Ezekiel, the 20th chapter. I suggest you meditate on that because it talks about the coming judgment at the end of that prophecy, but he's dealing with us. There'll be no more captivity. He's going to bring us into the wilderness, bring us out with a mighty hand, cause us to see our sins, our transgressions. Furthermore, not only is he going to cause us to see it, he's going to be serious about us keeping his covenant, the covenant that is a bond, is established between a husband and a wife, a bond that has to be there. He's not going to have it any other way. All praises to the Most High. Come back. We'll finish off Access Denied Part 2, talking about Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. Access Denied. Thank you.
starts with me. Yeah. Know how he tells me that I am his own.
You know my name. You know my name.
Hallelujah. Welcome back to Blueprint for Life. I'm Peter Preacher, and yes, sir, he knows your name, he knows my name, and he's walking with us, because before the foundations of the earth, he called us and chose us. Yemiyah, which is Jeremiah, says in the first chapter, in the fifth verse, before you were formed in your mother's belly, I called you, I knew you, sanctified you to be a prophet unto the nations. I anointed you before you got here. That's powerful. It's powerful right there. Get ready to get into the second part of this lesson. Access denied, part two. And what we're getting ready to talk about right here is the death of Miriam, the death of Aaron, and the death of Moses. And what could be the death of you and not making it into New Jerusalem. Here were three leaders, three siblings that were called and didn't get in to the promised land because of the disobedience, arrogance, lies, presumptuousness. You know, the little things, little white lies. You know, little foxes destroy the vine, but nobody wants to hear it. So you think what you do is innocent. I could just quickly repent. Let me say something about this quick repentance. If you're habitually doing it, you didn't never repent. Because to repent is to turn away from and walk the opposite direction and never walk that way again. So don't keep saying, I repent, and you know you're going to do what you're doing again. You're playing with the Most High, and you're playing with yourself. Because grace and mercy don't last always. The foundation, substratum for this story of access denied with these three siblings can be found in Numbers, the 20th chapter.
I'm not going to read it verbatim. I'm going to comment on certain aspects of the chapter. And then I want to give you a brief synopsis of what the story is all about. First, I'm going to give you the synopsis. Death flows like a stream throughout this particular chapter. Immediately after Miriam dies, which is the beginning of Numbers 20, the Israelites start to quarrel with her brothers, Moses and Aaron, because there's a lack of water. On the surface, they seem to take little or no time to even grieve. Miriam dies, and don't forget she became leprous because she had something to say about Moses' wife because he married an Ethiopian. She got in trouble with Yah behind that. Some commentaries relate the lack of water to a well that followed Miriam around throughout her life and that it dried up without her death. This is actually mentioned in some commentaries. And it's because Miriam died there. Numbers 20 and 1. Immediately when she died there was no water. Some people say that the thirst could be equated with grief, or comforting the grief with water. The urgency and anger of the people toward their leaders for bringing them out of Egypt into an arid wilderness drive Moses and Aaron to respond in anger as well, striking the rock twice and declaring, "Listen, you rebels, shall we get water for you out of this rock?" The Most High in turn decrees, "Because you did not trust me enough to affirm my sanctity in the sight of the people, therefore you shall not lead the congregation into the land. You're not going into the promised land because you struck the rock. I didn't tell you to do that." You see that in Numbers 20 and 12. You might conclude that the community's resistance to properly mourning leads to a chain of anger and pain extending all the way to heaven. Now, in the end of this chapter, when Aaron dies, the community mourns for 30 days, and the Most High allows for 30 days of mourning. Even after Moses died, they mourned for 30 days, and then Joshua took over. And after 30 days, he said, "Enough is enough, let's go." And it's amazing how the book of Numbers ends with the Moses not going in, and then you go into the book of Joshua. But nevertheless, people cope with grief in many different ways. Some need to move on as quickly as possible, turning with intensity of purpose to whatever task really presents and getting back to normal life. They respond just like the Israelites did with Miriam's death. They're ready to change at life instead of quieting into the stillness of being. Others respond in anger, lashing out at those who remain alive. We often resemble the Israelites who, having lost their mother, Miriam, rail against their father and his shortcomings for not quenching them. Some can find no outlet for their grief and, like Moses and Aaron, strike out against the rock, get pissed. And we fill ourselves up with our own power rather than facing our smallness in the face of a great loss. Yeah, you can't control it. Even Moses, our greatest prophet, who knew the Most High face to face, raged against the dying of the light. According to certain Midrash, in his last hours of life, Moses prayed for the opportunity to enter the land of Israel. Listen to this. His last hours of life, Moses kept praying for a chance to go into the promised land, and that was still refused. He begged to be able to live, even on the other side of Jordan, and he did not desist from begging for his life, even if he were to live not as a man at all, but as a bird. Even after his prayer to God was denied, he did not stop. In other words, Moses knew he wasn't going, but he still wanted to go in. And here's a man who was considered the Most High, Yah's friend, was in his presence, saw him at the burning bush. He didn't want to go be with him. He was afraid of death too, just like our Savior in the garden, who cried and said, "Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me." Moses raised up his voice in weeping and said, "To whom shall I go that will not implore mercy for me?" Then a voice sounded from heaven and said, "Moses, why dost thou strive in vain? Thou hast but one half hour more of life in the world." Moses, to whom God had now shown the reward of the pious in the future world and the gates of salvation and consolation that he would hereafter open to Israel, now said, "Happy art thou, Israel, who is like unto them, a people saved by the Lord." He then bade farewell to the people, weeping aloud. He said, "Dwell in peace. I shall see you again at the resurrection." Powerful stuff. He finally let go, but God also showed him what was going to befall us at this hour, this time, and what would happen to the children of Israel. We see that in prophecy throughout Deuteronomy and Numbers. He had got a clear vision of what was going to happen. He said, "Okay, farewell. Turn y'all over into the Most High. I'll see you in the resurrection." It's amazing in those days that sometimes the Most High would be like, "You're about to die in an hour. Or you're about to die now." Some of y'all couldn't handle that. Y'all, you'd die as soon as he told you that. And Moses didn't want to go. Access denied, people. Why was Moses' access denied? We'll get into all three of them, all three of these siblings. He said, "Go speak what I'm going to do to give them water." But they were so busy fussing at Moses, Moses got ticked off as some of us were doing, struck the rock, said, "Here, I'm sick of y'all, you rebels." The Most High had enough, because Moses also, when he came down the mountain, I guess he had a little attitude, a little temper. He broke the first set of commandments and threw them at the people when he saw what they were doing. He often got real upset. And it was ultimately this that kept him out of the kingdom. The promised land, access denied. Miriam's mouth, access denied. Aaron's line, the golden calf just jumped out of the fire. Access denied. We see in Numbers, the 20th chapter, that Aaron's death before he died, let's read it. Numbers 20 and 25. "Take Aaron and Eleazar, his son, and bring them into the Mount Hor, and strip Aaron of his garments." You didn't say tell Aaron to take them off. "Take Aaron to that mountain, and you strip them garments off of him, the priestly garments. He's no longer going to be a priest. So you strip them off." So imagine the humiliation Aaron is feeling. He know he didn't mess up. "Strip off his garments, and then put them on his son." Woo! "And Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, and shall die with his people." Send him back to his people, demote him, and strip him, and give it to his son in his face, in his eyes, so he can see it and deal with it. Verse 28, "And Moses stripped Aaron of his garments, put him on Eleazar, his son, and Aaron died there in the top of the mountain. And Moses and Eleazar came down from the mountain. And when all the congregation saw that Aaron was dead, they mourned for Aaron 30 days, even all the house of Israel." They got this man in trouble for wanting to have an orgy, a false god, made out of gold, and then they want to mourn and cry. It was y'all's fault. But he was supposed to take a stance as a leader, and he knew that was idolatry of what he had done. The people kept these three leaders out of the promised land. And these people that had these insurrections, these protests, with people like Dathan and Korah. How are you monitoring your reactions to people that can potentially keep you out of the promised land? The people are poking and prodding at your life because they're being inspired by demonic spirits, Satan, to do so. And the Most High is allowing it, as he allowed Satan to go and get Job and his family. Because you've got to prove that you can stand the test and react in the way that the Most High would react. True enough now, listen to me good. Yeshua HaMashiach had a nice reaction when he walked in the temple and saw people selling things in the church. And I know that that reaction right there would cause Christians today to say, "That couldn't be Jesus, not my Jesus. He wouldn't do all that. That's not what Jesus would do. Who's this man?" godly indignation, a righteous anger is okay. It's going to happen. But he said in scriptures, be angry, but don't sin. What is sin? 1 John 3 and 4, breaking the commandments and the laws. Do not cause your anger to take you out of yourself to cause you to get into sin that will keep you out of the kingdom. You do not want to hear access denied. Where is that scripture at? Okay, let's get it real quick. Matthew 7. Let's go to Matthew 7. Matthew 7 and 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and in your name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Get away. Can you imagine going up to the gates and going to judgment, seeing the Father as he's pleading with us in the wilderness, and you bragging about everything you did for him? He's going to be like, I don't even know you. Access denied. Depart from me. Get away. See, it's not even about your accolades, because here he's saying, I don't even know you. You won't be able to brag in front of the Most High or show off your resume. It's the time you spend with him, the knowledge of intimacy with him, the prayer and the fasting, and the desire to be closer to him and keep his Sabbaths, which are a sign between us. Ain't all of what you do. Some of the greatest things that you will ever do for Yah and Yeshua, nobody's going to see or hear about. Only the kingdom of heaven knows. So if you're doing a fundraiser to show off and put it on your Facebook page, you got your reward, buddy. And that's in Matthew's the sixth chapter. He said, don't let your left hand know what the right hand is doing. And he said, when you give, let it be done in secret so that I can reward you openly. Let's go back to Numbers, the 20th chapter. That's something I want to bring out also. After Aaron and Moses and Miriam, the three leaders and siblings, did all these wonderful things. To lead the children of Israel out. They had already messed up. And after they had messed up, look at this. Numbers 20 and 14. And Moses sent messengers from Kadesh unto the king of Edom. We know who the Edomites are. And they were trying to pass through. And thus said thy brother Israel, thou knowest all the travail that has befallen us. How our fathers went down into Egypt, and we have dwelt in Egypt. He's trying to explain to Edom everything we've been through. We just came out of Egypt. And when we cried unto the Lord, he heard our voice, and he sent the angel. He's breaking it down for the Edomites. 17, he said, let us pass through your land, Edom. I pray thee through your country, and we will not pass through your fields or through your vineyards. We won't drink the water of your wells. We will go by the kings. They begging. They ain't had to beg for nothing at first, but because they worshiping idols and keep breaking the laws and commandments, Moses is in trouble. Aaron's in trouble. The leaders are in trouble. Miriam's dead. She's gone because of her mouth and her disobedience and defiance to Moses and who he married and what needs to be done. He ain't told her to do that. Listen to this. They trying to tell Edom they're not going to touch the stuff. You just need to pass through. And Edom said unto them in verse 18, you ain't coming through here. Lest I come out against you with a sword and I'll kill all y'all. It's the Edomites ready to kill the children of Israel. We was in trouble. We messed up. You see how the doors close when you become disobedient to Yah? Before that, they could just pass through any land. All they had to do was Moses would hold up the staff in his arms and seas would part. Now you can't even part a land of people, but you can push the waters back. 19, and the children of Israel said unto him, we will go by the highway. And if I and my cattle drink of thy water, then I will pay for it. I will only, without doing anything else, go through on my feet. And he said, thou shalt not go through. And Edom came out against him with much people and with a strong hand. And Edom refused to give Israel passage through his borders. Wherefore Israel turned away from him. had to go into a longer journey, and you wonder why they were in the wilderness for 40 years. You started going in circles because of all their disobedience. The children of Israel rebelling against the commandments, causing trouble with Moses, making Moses get out himself, making Aaron, forcing Aaron to compromise with them. That's why I said last week during this Pride Fest, Isaiah 58:1, show my people their transgressions. Don't compromise. I don't care if it's in your family. You take a stance. I didn't say hate them. Stand for what you believe in and let them know that God did not create or design you to be that way, and he's not pleased. You have been turned over to a reprobate mindset, mind state. You know, we often will compromise with family members, loved ones, and friends to keep friends. But you can't. And that's why this is not for everybody, because a lot of you don't have the shoulders, the testicular fortitude, or the wherewithal not to be influenced by outside opinions. You stand fast with what you believe in and what the Most High has given you. You don't want your access denied, your badge deactivated. I'm telling you, I need power with Yah. I need the Holy Spirit. I need to be able to go. He said we could boldly approach the throne now that Christ died and the veil of the temple was ripped. I don't want to try to go before the throne. They like access denied. Too much sin in your life. Too much disobedience in your life. Your eyes, you don't have a covenant with your eyes. You're in lust. You want this world. You can't separate yourself. You won't keep my Sabbaths. You can't call on me in the day of trouble. No. We don't have a relationship. I don't know you. You don't spend time with me in the mornings. You don't pray, worship, sing. You don't do all unto me. You don't acknowledge me before you make moves. You spend your money on yourself, but you won't bless the poor, the homeless, the sick. Right. Either you want it or you don't want it. Access denied. That's sad that three siblings all denied access because of people. Lord, deliver us from people. The way I act to make sure that I don't let people touch me is what causes people to say, this nigga's crazy. Excuse my French. But I'm crazy or I'm considered mean because I won't go along with your foolishness. Because see, the whole world, that's why I call it sheeple. We side with each other. We go with the flow. We go with the crowd, the in crowd. Because it's not comfortable to be in this little small crowd of the people who rebel against society's sinful ways. And it's not a popular place. Often it's not even with a crowd of people. You'll be by yourself more often than not. You'll be alone. And if you're not comfortable with that, then you're not fit. Enoch began to become a recluse towards the last days of his life on this earth before he got caught up and didn't see death. He began to come out once a year and preach. And other than that, he spent time with the Most High. John the Baptist. He crazy as heck. Eating locusts and honey and dressing wild. He don't fit in. Why he ain't got the Gucci latest haircut? Dressing. He talk crazy too. And why he eat like that? Yeshua broke away from the 12. Brought three. Stepped away from the three. Looked at them and said, y'all can't even pray for an hour. Y'all sleep. Silence is gold. But to some people, silence can be so loud. And furthermore, you learn to be comfortable with yourself and the Holy Spirit. Because when he said, depart from me in Matthew 7:21-23, I never knew you. The word know in the Greek is gnosko, which means intimate knowledge of. How do I get to know him? Then I'm going to close out with this. 1 John 3:4. We hereby do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Because if you say you love him and you keep not his commandments, you are a liar and the truth is not in you. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, get some intimate knowledge of the Most High. Don't let your access be denied. Don't be a part of a sad story like that. You let people make you strike the rock and become disobedient. Because spiritually, reward-wise, and even in the midst of their sojourn and exodus, access was denied to even walk through a certain land. They had to go the long way around and just wandered for 40 years. You're wasting your life. You're wasting your time. You're not going to get through if you're not obedient and compliant to the ways of Yah. Hallelujah. All praises to the Most High. Okay, that's been my time. I want to thank you for listening. Hope you've been blessed. I want you to continue to be blessed and enjoy your Shabbat. Enjoy your Sabbath and stay true to the scriptures and to the Most High and His will. This has been V the Preacher on Blueprint for Life here on Babylon Talk Radio. And we'll see you next time, saying Shabbat Shalom, Kwam Yasha'Allah, which means let's rise, Hebrews. Let's rise to the top through going down on our knees. If my people will call by my name, will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, heal the land. Yes, sir. Shabbat shalom.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth. Another risk.